B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Police are looking for a woman accused of smashing a New York City restaurant's window and front door with a bat over beef patties.
Over beef patties.
Yeah, the woman entered the back home Jamaican restaurant in the Bronx and ordered a beef patty. An employee told the woman that they were out of beef patties, and the woman left, and she returned. She began to break the store's windows and glass front door with a baseball bat and then left.
Is it that hard to embrace the concept that sometimes stores run out of things?
Surveillance video shows the woman smashing the front of the restaurant. A person appears to try to stop her, but eventually backed away when she continued swinging her bat.
I want my beef patties, man.
Owner Simone Johnson said the woman is a regular customer at the restaurant. She couldn't believe that it had happened. Listen, one time I was in line at a Wendy's. This was in Chichester when I lived over that way. And I'm standing in line. There's like three or four people in line. A woman comes in and she goes, I'm sorry, you're in my place. I went to the bathroom. And I'm like,
to you?
Yeah, to me. She's like, I was already in line. I had to go to the bathroom. And I was just like, I was confused by it. And I'm just like, go ahead.
Go ahead.
And then she gets up there and she brought the exact amount of money that she had to get whatever she wanted to order.
Oh my God.
They had changed the prices.
Yeah.
She couldn't wrap her head around the fact that from time to time, places of business will change the prices on something. And she bitched and complained and argued with the person behind. She just couldn't get it.
Do you remember what the dollar amount was on what she was ordering?
Very little. Yeah. You know, it was a handful of bucks. The woman didn't have much money as it was, but and she was a little
loony. Especially with the line cutting comment.
Yeah, and I was just like, and that's what I thought of actually when I read this story about the beef patties. I'm surprised she didn't come back later on with the baseball bat and smash up the Wendy's, but yeah, effing people, man.
All right, let me ask you a quick question though, philosophically speaking. If you're standing in line and you're about to get waited on, and then you realize that there's something over there that is just maybe a half step too far away for you to reach across, do you lose your spot in line?
No, you can turn to the person behind you and say, I'm just going to grab that quickly. Do you mind?
Yeah.
That, you know, but if you go off for 45 minutes, no.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. All right, a 32-year-old snowboarder who tried to jump Bogus Basin Road on Saturday afternoon, collided with an SUV that was traveling up the mountain and later died at a local hospital.
Holy hell.
The snowboarder was identified by police as a guy named Shay Helmick. Helmick was snowboarding outside the boundary of the ski area when he attempted to jump the road. I don't know if there was like a little bit of a ramp or something. He was going to be able to try and clear it.
He must have failed.
No information about the circumstances that led to the attempt to jump was available. The snowboarder collided with a Hummer H2.
Oh, Jesus.
Like the worst.
He wasn't wearing a helmet. And the juvenile driver of the Hummer and the passenger, also a juvenile, were wearing their seatbelts. They weren't taken to the hospital. They were just driving. Dude tried to jump the road. Car coming across. Boom. Gets hit and killed by it.
How easy is it to go off trail at a lot of these places?
Can be pretty easy.
You pull over to the side of the road and go.
Yeah. Really?
You know, in some of them, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So the road was blocked for a while and they rendered aid and investigated the accident. But that's a terrible story. You got to be careful. A Jamaican man who chose the wrong person to try to extort, which was the only one to lead both the FBI and the CIA. Mm-hmm. This guy was a former leader of the FBI and CIA. William Webster, who is now 94 years old, and his wife Linda were targeted 4 years ago by a man who peddled a lottery scam over phone calls and emails. Over multiple phone calls, Kinnell Ann Thomas of Jamaica told the Websters that he'd set their house on fire or have a sniper shoot them in the back of the head if they didn't pay him thousands of dollars.
And this guy had worked for both the CIA and the FBI.
The Websters say they used their knowledge of the FBI to help send him to prison, which a federal judge did on Friday, and both spoke in court. The caller, Thomas, identified himself as David Morgan, the head of a Mega Millions. Thomas told Webster's that he had won $15.5 million in a Mercedes-Benz and needed to wire $50,000 to cover the taxes before collecting the award.
Call him the boogeyman.
That's when Webster first reached out to the FBI. The caller tried again the next day, reaching William Webster once more, who told him that he didn't have the money readily available. About a month later, Linda Webster picked up a call from a blocked number on their phone. Again, it was Thomas. The scammer in Jamaica said that he was watching the Webster's house. He even described to Linda what it looked like and knew they hadn't been home the previous night. Linda thought fast. She still remembers FBI numbers. She said, so while on the call with Thomas, she picked up her cell phone and dialed in to an agent to listen.
Directly to an agent.
This time, Thomas told her she needed to pay $6,000 or he'd find her at her white brick house and would put a bullet straight to her head.
Okay. Mm.
Linda received two more calls from David in the following days. He said that he needed to pay or she and William Webster would be killed. Thomas said that the FBI and CIA would never find him. Prosecutors wrote in their initial criminal complaint. Well, they found him. After his arrest in late 2017, he got off a plane in New York to visit a friend. Thomas pleaded guilty to one extortion charge. He admitted to threatening the Webster. So, dude's going to go to jail. He messed with the wrong
Absolutely.
People. Thank God for that. Police say a Texas woman used her granddaughter's scooter to defend herself against a pair of machete-wielding men wearing clown masks who attempted to rob the woman and her husband. Police say Aretha Cardinal and her husband Joseph Nelson were in the driveway of their home last week when the masked men approached and placed a machete to Nelson's throat.
We're gonna kill you!
Authorities say Nelson wrestled away the machete from one man while Cardinal grabbed the child's scooter from the driveway and used it to strike the other man.
I bet you could use a scooter pretty well.
Yeah, the men tried to chase them and run away. I'm sorry, the men tried to run away, but the couple chased after them, smashing their vehicle window with the scooter. The two suspects have been jailed on aggravated robbery charges.
If it's a Razor scooter, you could be flipping it around nunchuck style.
Yeah, you could. All right, and then finally, let's go with this one. A man melting down fillings inside a Massachusetts apartment building.
Oh, he's downstairs in the basement melting the fillings.
Caused fire.
Lou, are you done with your fillings thing? Arnie's here.
Arnie.
I'll be up in a second. I got the last few to melt.
It caused fire officials to deem the dwelling uninhabitable because of mercury contamination.
Oh, boy, he's got mercury in him.
Firefighters were called to an apartment on Saturday.
Oh, boy, there's mercury in these ones.
On Saturday and learned that a 51-year-old man had tried to melt fillings. The man, who received the fillings from his grandfather, thought that the fillings were made of silver, but the fillings were actually made of mercury.
All right, grandson, I want you to have my fillings.
The grand man.
Come again?
The man's grandfather was a dentist.
Gampy? What was that?
The man then became sick and has been in the hospital since January 28th. The man's girlfriend called the building management company, prompting fire officials and a hazmat team to respond to the building. Fire officials said a 17-year-old girl living in the building tested positive for mercury.
Oof.
There were elevated levels of mercury in the man's apartment and other areas of the building. They had to shut down the whole apartment building.
For my granddaughter... My house, and for my grandson, fillings.
What did I get?
You got my fillings.
This is the reading of
she
the will.
She gets a house?
Yeah.
I'm going to melt them. Don't melt them. They're images of my teeth. I'm going to melt them. Joke's on him. They're full of mercury.
The entire building was deemed uninhabitable.
Wow. So remember the whole big purge in dentistry for those old fillings that had mercury in them that, you know, that people, you know, like people had had them put in before a certain time frame, you know, to upgrade your fillings to non-mercury fillings was a big thing.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
Well, a woman in Missouri is accused of poisoning her husband with antifreeze, placing his body on a bed and setting him on fire so she could marry an inmate at the prison that she works at.
Oh, man.
You know what? I think it's time for marriage counseling.
Amy Murray faces charges in the death of Joshua Murray, who an autopsy said most likely died from poison. She faces charges of first-degree murder and armed criminal action, jailed in lieu of $750,000 bond.
She made it look like an accident.
She was having an affair with an inmate at the Jefferson City Correctional Center. I used to live right down the street from there.
Oh, boy.
Where she worked as a nurse. The inmate, 40-year-old Eugene Claypool, has been jailed for more than 18 years in the deadly stabbing of a 72-year-old man.
This got to make single guys not in prison feel like so bad.
Right?
How's this guy getting women?
Exactly. Has anybody watched Escape from Dannemora yet?
I watched the first episode. Okay. I stopped to watch
yeah,
the rest
I
of
mean,
it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that similar, but pretty similar to this.
No, you're right. They had a relationship with a worker there and managed to finagle that into an escape. Yeah. Police in Indonesia have apologized after a video emerged showing officers using a live snake to force a confession from a suspected cell phone thief. The video.
Good snake, bad snake?
I think it might have been what they've been doing, they were doing, Steve. The video shows a seated and restrained man being questioned by officers while a snake is draped around his shoulders.
I'm the good snake.
And its head pushed toward his face.
Jeez.
Police asked the suspect how many times he had stolen cell phones as he writhed on the ground and screamed in fear. Only two times, the prisoners heard saying, as another man rubs the snake on his face.
You like rub that, don't you?
Snake on your face. A voice off camera can be heard ordering the man to keep his eyes open as the snake is pushed towards him.
All right, bring in the monkey.
The unidentified voice also threatened to put the snake in the suspect's mouth and down his pants.
Oh, my God.
That's what? No.
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 Tani Ananda Swadaya.
There's a line you can cross in snake interrogation, and that's the line.
You're going to swallow what I give you to swallow. A police chief issued a statement apologizing for the interrogation methods.
It was supposed to be an earthworm.
After details of the incident emerged, the investigator was not professional, he said, in doing his job. Swadaya admitted.
They were supposed to be snake pictures.
We have taken stern action against the personnel, he said, though the snake in question was tame and not venomous. He also stressed that the officers involved had been acting on their own initiative to try and extract a confession and had not physically assaulted the suspect.
It was a police snake.
You mentioned monkeys. I think I have a monkey story.
Ooh.
Let me see if I can find
I think I know which one you have.
Find this one. Yeah, you probably do. But I think it's further down in my
I like this one.
List. Let's see here, ma'am. I know I have
You have
it.
Such a huge pile of
monkey.
Bizarre.
Monkey. You're a little monkey, are you?
All right, yes. Zookeepers say a group of chimpanzees use branches weakened by a storm to make a ladder and escape from their enclosure at the Belfast Zoo.
Care, Kim, Chim, Chim, have you noticed? The tree fell down and now we can escape.
A video filmed Saturday by visitors in the Northern Ireland Zoo showed several primates scaling a wall and perching atop it.
Well, any fool could see this.
With one walking down a path outside the enclosure. Zookeeper Alan Cairns said the trees in the chimp's enclosure have been weakened by recent storms, allowing the animals to break them and fashion a ladder to escape.
And they did, man. They you see them running right up, jumping the wall.
Yeah, he told the BBC they're intelligent primates, and they know that they're not supposed to be out of their enclosure, so they got back in themselves.
Gather around, boys. I've fashioned passports for all of us.
2 weeks ago, a rare red panda escaped from the same zoo when its electric fences failed. The animal was recaptured in the driveway of a nearby house.
So it's like Jurassic Park.
Yeah. We'll do one more story, and then we will wrap things up. Let's go with this one. This is kind of a nice story. Nice ending to it anyway. A North County man who in San Diego spent 6 weeks in a coma returned home on Wednesday and celebrated Christmas in February with all of his neighbors.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Ryan Kane went to the hospital with flu-like symptoms on December 10th, soon after he was diagnosed with pneumonia that went septic. Kane was placed in the intensive care unit where he stayed for nearly 6 weeks. According to his mother, Janet, she said his whole body was in paralytic state and was completely run by machines for 6 weeks. When Ryan was in the ICU, there were five other patients on a life support system, and they were from the same condition, and Ryan was the only survivor.
Only one that lived.
Yeah. She said one of the first things he asked when he woke up was, "Did I miss Christmas?"
Aww.
His mother said.
And then he was reminded he was Jewish.
No.
Oh, no.
I became Christian during the coma.
He said, no, Christmas can happen any time of the year, and it's waiting for you at home. The Kane family lives on Christmas Card Lane, by the way.
That's in Christmas Cookie Cove.
And people all over San Diego drive to their neighborhood during the holidays to see all the decorations. And the neighbors couldn't think of anything better, a better way to welcome Kane home than to line the streets and celebrate Christmas for him, right?
Do we know how old he is? Is he nice, like a kid?
No, he's an adult.
Okay. 111.
What's that?
111.
111 years old.
This is the greatest day of my life. Especially since I'm Jewish.
One of the dozens of neighbors who lined the Christmas card lane said it's been an emotional experience and was proud of him for being a fighter. He said, I'm so blessed with Christmas that Christmas is still here, and I hope that I never go back to the hospital again. So it was kind of
want to go back to the hospital again.
A nice story to end on.
You know what they say, nobody dies in Christmas, guys.
Yeah, that's right. We
We had a funeral. Isn't that what your friend said?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.